Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Suspects. Two in the books, one to go. Final hour of the show. It is Barry and myself and Aaron Raybould on a Monday, as I alluded to earlier, between Sarah Barshop, the beat writer for the Texans, and all the insight she gave us, and Kevin McHale and all the insight he gave us. You guys have a lot of homework to do in catching up if you missed any of the show today. It was flown by. Governor Abbott, Barry, has just gone out and said, I believe starting Friday, athletic competition and play on the playground and otherwise, limited to four or less, is going to be okay. He's essentially opening it all back up. He expects gyms, hopefully, to be open by mid-May. They're starting to definitely pull back on a lot of the restrictions.
Oh, that's good. If they have the necessary information to tell us that it's time, then I'm all for it. That's great news. I'm just going to assume that they have all the right info.
I don't think that's something you should be assuming at this point.
Why not? I mean,
because we don't have a cure for it. We don't have a vaccine for it.
Well, are we just supposed to live like hobbits for the next 18 months? I mean, we all have to be more cautious and careful, and we live in a new society where if you're going to be somewhere where there's a lot of people, maybe wear a mask. Look, this is – I mean, if you look at some – like if you look at Japan, South Korea, some of these countries, you know, in East Asia or in Asia, like this is a normal everyday thing. And you'll occasionally see people flying wearing masks. You'll see people here in Houston – that maybe, you know, were born in South Korea, for example, that'll wear masks just here because it's a normal everyday thing. It's not an infringement on your liberty, you know. It's just being precautious. You get a flu shot, right? I mean, I do. So until that happens, you take your necessary precautions. I don't know. I just assume that he's got more info than us.
I mean, you know what? I hope so, Barry, but we just got done talking about it, about being safe, doing the right thing short term so that we don't end up with this thing long term. And until I know that they've got medication, if you do get it, that can keep you from dying and get you to recover from it, and we don't have a vaccine, as we know, until we have more answers, and you were doing some of the research, too, to say that we're not even sure that the curve is starting to flatten. To me, if you're going to make them wear, and you're going to make people wear masks for the next 30 days on top of all that, I just don't want a knee-jerk reaction that is too soon, and we end up with another, you know, issue with this down the road.
No, I agree with that, and I think that, I mean, I'm not going to say that it's completely motivated by it, but you're talking about the state of Texas. We are an oil-rich state. We are a state that relies heavily on the oil industry. And I think getting people back to work stimulates our economy more so than a lot of other states. Now, Oklahoma would be lumped in with us as far as a state that the sooner that people get back to work, the sooner that their economy improves, because they're an oil, a major oil supplier. So I think that it might be motivated by that, but I don't think that Governor Abbott is going to send people out if there's the risk of it returning, because I think, and I'm trying to be a positive person on this, but what I think is that politicians, whether they are Republican, Democrat, or whatever, I think everybody realizes that if you get it wrong, you're really going to do more damage, because you've wasted all of the time where we could have been lowering the number of cases and risk and even, you know, flattening the curve or even extending the downside of it even more. So if you rush it, now you're going to be back into a new cycle of it, and it's going to be worse. So I think everybody knows what's at stake here. At least I hope.
Well, let's keep hope alive, and let's hope that, you know, highly educated people are behind this, and we'll see how it goes. But to me, it just feels like it may be a little too soon, but I hope I'm wrong, and I hope that we are on the road to recovery, because for so many different things, including sports, but you know, obviously just everyday things that we miss doing that we used to do, I hope that we're on the recovery road to quickly getting by this.
I agree 1,000%. So earlier in the show, we were talking about the draft and grades, and I was looking at Pro Football Focus, who I told you gave the Texans a C+, and the Green Bay Packers a D.
Yep.
And you said that was too high for the Packers.
Yep.
Now, Aaron sent us a link to a subreddit where, or maybe, I don't know. I don't know how Reddit works. Reddit, Snapchat, I don't understand these new things that these kids use, Aaron. But it basically
And I'm the
took,
one behind the times? Okay.
It basically took a summary of all of the grades that NFL.com, Sporting News, Pro Football Focus, DraftWire, Monday Morning Quarterback, NJ.com, TD Wire, SB Nation, on and on and on, Washington Post, ESPN, New York Post, USA Today, Roto World, right? It took all of their grades from all their people and did an average, which is, you know, something nerdy that I would do. I would go out and be like, all right, A-minus, A-plus, and then came up with a cumulative GPA for each team. So they, based on that, and for example, your Packers, the highest grade they got was a B-minus from the Monday Morning Quarterback. The lowest grade they got was an F from Roto World, but it looked like the consensus on the Packers was a D.
Okay.
They got
Mel Kiper just gave them a C, so I think that's way too high.
Yeah, he gave them a C. Who else? Yeah, I told you Pro Football Focus gave them a D, DraftWire, Sporting News. Anyways, at the end of the day, when they did the GPA for all the teams, the Packers ended up with the worst overall
average.
They got a 1.31 GPA based off of this.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's... Now, not to
now
be
when
outdone,
they trade for Kenny Stills for a 7th-round pick, it's going to get better.
Totally redeem themselves.
Yes.
The number one team as far as how they got ranked, Minnesota Vikings, which I did think they had a good draft. Only one of these sources gave them anything below an A. Washington Post gave them a B+, but literally every other site that participated in this or that was put into this gave them at least an A-, but some gave them an A+. Their GPA was a 3.92 based on a 4.0 if you get straight A's, right? A+.
Wow.
So Cowboys, who I thought Jura did a great job. The first two picks that they made, I was just amazed by, because, you know, they took the guy I wanted Bill O'Brien to take in the second round. But Cowboys ranked second with their draft grades, 3.83. Your Houston Texans, Joel, second to last. Only the Packers had a
look at my two teams kicking it in the gutter. I love it.
Only the Texans had a worse draft than the Packers, according to a cumulative GPA based on all of the draft rankings. I'll give you all the scores since it is the Texans. NFL.com gave them a B+, Sporting News a C, Pro Football Focus a C+, DraftWire a C, Monday Morning Quarterback B-, NJ.com B+, TD Wire a D. I don't know if it's a D. SB Nation a B, Washington Post B-, New York Post D, ESPN C+, USA Today gave the Texans an F, and Roto World a D+. You average all that out, it comes up to a GPA of 2.07. And like I said, the only team worse than that was the Green Bay Packers. You know you sucked in the draft if it was worse than the Raiders, because I thought they had an awful draft.
Yeah, I in a lot of ways, and everybody has their own opinion. And look, there's plenty of guys that drafted late that people are going to crap on that end up being, you know, good, better than average, and sometimes big-time players. But overall, I agree with you. I thought the Cowboys did really well, and that's hard to say with Jerry Jones being the general manager, but they did. And you know what? Sometimes you just have the best available player fall into your lap, and you can't say no. And to get a guy like C.D. Lamb to go on the other side of Amari Cooper and give a guy that was pretty efficient throwing the football last year and Dak Prescott another weapon, I mean, that's a pretty good thing when their defense was already pretty decent. And like you said, as long as they got a good corner in the second round. And the other thing is, if you get first-round talent in the second round and you're always getting talent that's graded at least a round or so above it, then it's hard to fault what you're doing.
At the worst, you have to get value where you're at, right? You can't overreach. I think Jerry Jones did the opposite. I mean, he found some hidden gems in spots, and he drafted guys in spots where they probably shouldn't have even been available if the people drafting in front of them, Texans, knew what they were doing. Good on the Cowboys. And I think overall, I don't think there were many blunders in this draft. I don't think there were some head scratchers, don't get me wrong. Starting with the Packers getting Aaron Rodgers' replacement already. But then you look at Philly, that was no different. They did the same thing.
Here, Barry, with Jalen Hurts. Scenario, though, because I think he's going to be a Taysom Hill type guy. I think they're going to use him in packages so where they'll get some more. And he's such a good athlete. You could give him the ball and have him either run it, throw it, catch it. I think he'd do a lot. In the area of Green Bay, here's the one that makes it more perplexing. I wanted to bring this up to you because I was really curious back home how the reactions were. And then they actually caught up with GM Brian Gutekunst and LaFleur, the head coach. Both of them said the same thing. I see Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback of this team for a long, long time, which makes the draft even worse. Because if that's the case, and a long, long time in my mind means exactly 2, 3, 4 more years, then what the hell are you wasting a first-round pick on a quarterback for when you should be getting him weapons?
Yeah.
That's what made it worse to me. That's what really pissed me
off. It's a great point. It's a great point because you have to think you just wasted an opportunity to improve your ball club significantly to get Aaron Rodgers more weapons, or make your defense better. I mean, you wasted it with a guy that's not going to play. That makes no sense to me. None. Now, I will say this. The only problem that I have with the Eagles, and I do agree with you. I think I also had tweeted it or said it or whatever. But Jalen Hurts is their Taysom Hill. Okay, that makes sense. Only problem is, Joel, Taysom Hill was undrafted.
And let me also point out from a personnel perspective, guess who had him first and cut him? Yeah, it'd be that same team that got an F in the draft. All right, Packers. Good job.
So I think a second-round pick on a utility infielder, because that's what we're talking about in baseball terms. You spent a second-round pick on the Phillies version of Marwin Gonzalez. Not worth a second round pick.
Nope.
But what do I know?
Well, I do know that according to Governor Greg Abbott, that as long as you have 4 or less, it's okay to be out in the parks and playing sports. So I think Eric Gordon can now.
You're going
find
to go ball, aren't you?
EG can find a game, baby. He can get some shots up because he doesn't have a hoop at the house. But hey, there's hope now. Rocket season coming up before you know it. All right, we got plenty more to get to. We're going to continue to roll through. We've got a break here. Come back with a whole lot more as we get through the final hour of the show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
Back on the suspects. We've covered a lot of ground on a lot of topics, having a lot of fun on a Monday. Hopefully you've been along with us for the entire show as Kevin McHale was with us and had a lot of great stuff. Sarah Barshop with us, had a ton of Texan stuff. And, of course, our opinions along the way. I did, before I forget about this or we get on another topic, Greg, I didn't want to tell you about the McHale story, but he said, you know how he said, well, you know, after you're done playing, and he talked to Isaiah and Rick Mahorn and all these guys, that, you know, once you're done playing, you forget about all that stuff. total BS. He said the other, he told me like a year or two ago, he was doing a game in Miami, I think it was, and Pat Riley was there. And he said they couldn't even look at each other. And at one point, I don't know if Riley said it to him or they said it to each other, they're like, I don't know that we should even be talking. I mean, are we talking? And it all, and I was like, what's that all about? You guys, he goes, oh no. Mm-mm. No, those Celtics-Lakers battles were real. And I think that, you know, I don't know if it was the both of them, but he definitely thought Riley felt like it was really uncomfortable and he didn't feel comfortable, like, acknowledging and talking to Kevin.
Really?
Yeah, which, I mean, it's surprising because you think at a certain point you get over it. But hearing everybody talk about this, and I was trying to put it in perspective of, like, I played City League for years. And there were games that I didn't want to shake hands with the other team because they were dirty and they had said and done things that really ticked me off. And so I could kind of relate to that. But, you know, I think Isaiah was saying things about, like, well, you know, what happens on the court stays on the court, but off the court it's different. I don't think it is. I think at a certain point when it's at that level and it has that much on the stake, at stake, I don't know how you can just walk away and wash your hands of it when the game's over.
Yeah, there's. I know that you want to separate the two, but sometimes you can't. Sometimes it seeps into, you know, real life. Sometimes it becomes one of those prevailing thoughts, like you're just consumed by your hatred of your opponent, especially if they do the things that the Pistons did or the Lakers did to the Celtics or the Celtics did to the Lakers or however, you know, whatever side of it you're on. I could see that bleeding over into off-the-court life and not necessarily where, like, you're at home on a Saturday, you know, laying by the pool thinking, God, I hate Isaiah Thomas so much. But in as much as if you guys were all at the same restaurant during All-Star weekend, and saw each other, you're not going out of your way to shake hands. You're just like, I don't like that, too. And so I get it. I mean, look, we just talked about this, and it's been a prevailing discussion on my live chats, but there are people in this business I don't like. And if I see them, I'm not talking to them, and I'm not shaking their hands.
Sure.
I'm not going to pretend like it. And I don't lose sleep over it, and I don't expect them to. I don't expect them to like me. I don't expect them to want to get along with me or want to shake my hand. It's just like, I don't like you. You don't like me. We can both bleep off according to the other person, and that's the end of it. But I'm not going to pretend. So I get it. I totally get it.
I was just going to say, you recapped, you're one of the usual suspects. But no, you're right. And you and I just talked about it on Saturday night. But, I mean, it is. It's one of those deals where I could totally relate to the people that still to this day don't like the teams that they got into these long battles with. I mean, look, even from the standpoint of, I don't know that I could ever say that I was playing basketball with one of my friends one-on-one. The Danny Ainge story was hilarious. But at the same time, I would never think about punching one of my friends in the junk to win
say
a one-on-one
no more.
Game.
I think about punching you all the time.
Well, you said friends, Barry, so let's just kind of let's go back.
Well,
baby steps.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, playing one-on-one against a friend. I can understand playing one-on-one for a lot of money against someone that is not a friend. Then I might get real competitive. I still don't think I'd punch him in the junk. But that pretty much sums up Danny Ainge. If he's going to punch his friend in the junk to win a one-on-one game after practice.
It was good times, man. That was. It's been a fascinating four parts to this series so far. And it's been – I am learning way more than I ever knew. And that's the fun part about it is – you know, you knew there was some hatred for the Pistons, and you knew there was some dislike. I didn't realize Jordan hated Isaiah Thomas. I had never imagined that in a million years. I knew they didn't get along on the court, but again, I didn't think that it spilled over like it does. So that's been interesting. You know, I didn't know all of the Pippen backstory, and I didn't realize that, you know, Jordan kind of harbored those feelings, it seems, with Pippen about the migraine and some other stuff. So pretty interesting, which I wonder if they ever did a last dance and it was focused on Pippen, if at one point in, you know, episode 4, they go, oh, well, yeah, that was the flu game. And Pippen goes, yeah, the flu game, and makes air quotes. Like, I wonder if he would go that route the same way that Jordan went the route of implying that he didn't believe it was a migraine. That would be interesting.
And that's like what I talked about.
Didn't really have the flu. He was hungover. So you guys.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's when I was talking about how the two faces, I won't say two faces, but the two phases of Michael Jordan when he was drinking orange juice and 7-Up and was just worried about the next game to the one that was running off to Atlantic City and doing the things that he was doing later in his career, because the rumors are out there about him being a guy that was hungover instead of having the flu. And at some point, you got to believe that's coming up. At something has to come up where they at least kind of address how sick he was and was it really the flu. Because, I mean, Rockets fans remember the game in Phoenix against the second championship when Clyde wasn't supposed to play. And I can tell you, there was a nurse in Clyde's room 24/7 feeding him intravenous fluids. And when we got on the bus to go to the game in Phoenix, when we needed that win just to force a game 6 or a game 7, we were all disheartened because they said Clyde's not leaving the room. He doesn't have the strength to get out of bed. And right before game time, when he walked in the locker room, the just the overall uplifting feeling that you saw on everybody's face, and the fact that he got a uniform on and went out through warmups, and he didn't play well and he didn't play a lot, but the fact that he was there lifted his team and motivated that team to want to win it for him and to keep the series going was so real, and it was so moving that I can tell you from an inside perspective, he was legitimately sick, and it was awesome. I don't know. There's got to be someone within the Bulls organization or someone that was around Michael for 24 hours leading up to that game that can definitively say, no, he was sick or no, he was drinking.
Right. Yeah, it'd be interesting to know the truth.
Because Tim Grover, who ends up being Michael's strength coach when Michael wants to put on the muscle and weight, and ends up being – he's made millions and millions of dollars by being, you know, books and everything, being Michael's trainer. Well, when Michael retired, Charles hired him. And so Tim was with the Rockets. And so Tim was working with Scotty and Charles initially, and he was always – and they used to call it the Breakfast Club, where even on game days, they lifted in the mornings. And it was tough for a guy like Charles because Charles went out a lot. And with the Rockets, he was also to that point where he didn't care about resting his body the night before. He went out a ton. My friends, because I was still working in the office. So
you're saying that Charles was just a chubby Dennis Rodman. He was going out no matter what, but step up.
Absolutely no doubt about it. Charles, yes, no question about it. And here's the thing. Where this goes is Tim Grover actually had a conversation with me, and so did Carol Dawson, to go tell my friends that they needed to stop hanging out with Charles Barkley so that he would stop drinking and going out. And I said, do you really think that grown-ass men saying that we're not going out with you anymore and we're not going to drink is going to stop him from going out? Because he'll find new friends.
You obviously don't know him.
He's just going to find new friends if he wants to do that. So I was like, okay, you guys are reaching a little bit, but whatever. We'll see. Tim Grover is a different guy. But
that's funny.
He right place, right time. All right, so we'll continue to roll on. We're rolling through the show, having a lot of fun. Still got 30 minutes to go. So the final half hour is next. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
If Pyros and Crips all got along, they probably got me down by the end of the song. Seem like the whole city go against me. Every time I'm in the street, I hear yak, yak,
yak, yak. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, Barry, I did a little research. I wouldn't be too giddy about this NBA rule. It seems as if the Hawks were going to be one of the teams to jump on board and get things going, and they have now postponed the May 1st till at least May 8th, but they have some concerns. Mm. So I don't think we're anywhere near NBA basketball, and until all teams are practicing again, I don't think we can be. So we'll see what happens. But
well, damn.
Sniffing around to see what teams were doing, and it doesn't look like that's going to by the way. Mikhail said that Mikhail texted me and said, I had a blast. Thank you. I said, no, we had a blast. Thanks for joining us. And I said, did you like my Dwight Howard comment? And he's laughing. He goes, mean-spirited, but okay.
So, well, that's just how you are.
Yeah, sometimes. By the way, we also should mention Jameis Winston looks to be close to signing a one-year deal with the Saints to back up Drew Brees. And now this weekend, Taysom Hill also signed a $21 million two-year extension with the Saints, in which at least 14 is guaranteed, I think, or 16. So I guess Jameis becomes the one-year answer to Teddy Bridgewater.
You know, what's going on over there? Because you heard all these rumblings about, oh, well, Taysom Hill is Drew Brees' heir apparent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if so, then why are you signing a backup quarterback? Because then he's your backup quarterback, and yes, he can still run, you know, the packages that you put him in for and do the special teams and all that stuff, if that's what you want him to do, but he's also your number two. So why would you spend the money on a two? Spend the money on a three. Don't go and pay Jameis Winston.
We don't know what the financial terms are going to be, but you got to believe Jameis Winston's going to get paid at least what Bridgewater was making. So at least like in the, what, $7 million range. And like I said, you just extended Taysom Hill. So you're already going to be paying him decent coin. So in the quarterback room alone for next year with Brees at 25, and let's just say seven and a half for Jameis. Now you're at 32, and then Taysom Hill's probably making four something.
Mm-hmm.
So you're over $36 million for three quarterbacks.
Right. That's why I say it doesn't make a lot of sense. If you wanted to go out and get a third string guy, a minimum cost quarterback who just gets you through, he's your three, he's your emergency or whatever. He holds your clipboard and charts your plays because, you know, Taysom's going to be playing in the game, so he's not going to have time to do that. Okay,
right.
You're basically just paying a glorified assistant coach to keep track of what the quarterback does and play calls and all that. So why spend the money on it? Because I would be surprised outside of injury if Jameis Winston plays in 10% of the Saints snaps.
But, you know, and here's the only place where I would say I get it if I'm the Saints. We know Drew Brees is older. We saw what happened. He missed five games last year, and Teddy Bridgewater became a godsend, winning all five games that Brees missed. You realize when you're a contending team that the backup quarterback position is so much more important than if you're a middle-of-the-road or below team. And it can be the difference between saving your season and making a playoff run and not making the playoffs. So I get that. But you're also telling me if you're bringing it – so with that being said, you're bringing in Jameis, which means – maybe Taysom Hill is your quarterback of the future, but you don't know when that future starts. It could be 2, 3, 4 years down the road because you're telling me he couldn't do what Teddy did,
mm-hmm.
and so therefore you needed somebody else.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly what it feels like. That's why I'm saying what's
Teddy,
going on over there. Why? The guy. I thought he was the man. It's starting to look like if you're paying Jameis Winston, he wasn't the man.
But I will say this, Barry, on the Jameis Winston side of things, smart on a couple of fronts. If you know that there's not a starting job to be had, go and learn from one of the best offensive minds in Sean Payton, a Hall of Famer in Drew Brees. And in the process, whether you need me this year or not, at the end of the year, it looks like Drew's going to go off to TV land. He already has a contract in place, whether he plays these 2 years in New Orleans or just this season. And so you know that there's going to be an opening. And if Drew leaves and they still think that Hill's got work to do, well, now there's your starting role and there's an opening and there's a chance for you to have another season, you know, to prove yourself. And it's going to be a lot easier to get it there than almost everywhere else in the league unless maybe Jacksonville doesn't work out with Minshew or Ben Roethlisberger leaves in Pittsburgh. But they've also said those are two teams Cam Newton's looking at.
Yeah, but that's the thing is those teams that you just mentioned going out and getting Jameis Winston, that makes sense. That's a move that I understand.
Sure.
This one I don't. I just, there's, but Barry, you know,
but okay.
even when you talk about the whole, well, you know, he's moving on. But that's what I mean. I thought Taysom Hill was the guy. Are we going to now hear he's not? Is that the thing? Are they going to stop with the experiment?
No, I think that they're probably being honest with themselves that he's not ready, and it may take a year or two for him to be the full-blown starter. And that's why I say it's not a dumb move by the Saints either, except for the amount of money dedicated to both backups, as you mentioned. But from the standpoint of, we got a guy that might not be just the backup this year. He might be a short-term bridge to a guy like Hill, or maybe he just takes over. Because when Drew leaves, if they don't feel like Taysom's ready, but he's still a valuable enough commodity to use him offensively the way they use him and move him around, at least you got a guy that was a starter in the league, and maybe he does learn some things from them to where he cuts down on the interceptions, and he becomes a viable starter. It's better than starting from scratch with a raw guy like Taysom Hill or having to try and find another quarterback.
I suppose so. I mean, that's not a ridiculous argument.
Or you could be the Patriots. You need a quarterback, and you don't draft one, and you don't find one, and you don't know what you're doing for one.
Also weird, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, they showed Belichick's dog sitting in the seat at the dining room table with the computers in front of him, and they joked. I'm not sure if I was joking. If that's what they're doing at quarterback, I'm not so sure the dog wasn't making some picks.
Well, I saw that and just went, oh, I wish he was our coach.
Well, I think, yeah. The snarkiness would be a lot more accepted if you were coming to Houston with all that resume as opposed to...
I mean, seasons would still be rough.
Yes! What?
All right, I'll be over here if you need me.
I'm shaking my head. You just can't do that. Yeah,
I know. I'm wagging my tail. That was too rough. That didn't. Oh, damn it! I did it again. That was unintentional.
I just don't know if you know. You can either have your dog looking like he's making picks, or you can blow a full blown tantrum on live television. I mean, which one would you rather be?
Your choice. One of them is a good boy. One of them's not.
Okay. All right. So with that, we've covered even more football, Saints-related, so Clarence will be happy. But obviously it was an eventful weekend. The ratings went through the roof. Everybody was, which is crazy to me, glued to the television all 3 days. I want to say it was something like over 50-some million people ended up watching at least parts of the draft. That's just crazy.
I thought Roger Goodell did a pretty good job, too, until he started laying out and showing us his junk at the end. It's like, Roger, sit up in the chair, bro. What are you
doing? He did get real comfy. I know Trent Wingo was joking about it in his comfy chair, but he did. He went from, like, at least sitting up attentive and when he wanted to take a load off his feet, but then he just got full-blown Saturday night at midnight watching TV mode. He just kind of sunk into the chair.
Yeah, that was weird. I was like, bro, what the hell are you doing, man?
It was crazy. Also on a football note, it says the Chiefs would like to get their extension done with Patrick Mahomes before this season starts. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, that's a huge blessing if you're the Houston Texans, because you got to believe Deshaun and his camp are lining up at least as much as they can, parallels between him and Mahomes, both drafted in the same class, obviously two up-and-coming quarterbacks. Deshaun doesn't have the MVP and the Super Bowl like Mahomes, but you probably have to be thinking that they're going to wait and see how long it's going to take for the Chiefs and Mahomes to get on the same page, and then the numbers. And I don't know that Deshaun deserves to be paid more than Mahomes, but he's going to want close to it.
I don't think you're right. He's going to want close to it.
Right.
That's going to be the tricky part is, is he going to get it? And, you know, not saying he's not worth it, but how do you justify it? If you're going to say that Patrick Mahomes is worth X dollars, well, those X dollars comes with a Super Bowl and an MVP and not getting dismantled by that team that he was on. And I know that that's not Deshaun's fault that they lost a 24-point lead. I mean, he was responsible for some of those 24 points. So, but it is going to be difficult to say, okay, Patrick Mahomes is paid, you know, $30 million. Now Deshaun Watson wants 29 and a half. I don't know how you go about that. That's Bill O'Brien's going to earn his money there. Now, you know, we talked to Sarah Barshop earlier, and she thinks that Deshaun is 100% in on Bill O'Brien and loves him. And, you know, as Terrell Owens would cry and say, "That's my quarterback," Deshaun would be like, "That's my coach." So I guess we're going to find out. We're going to see if he gets a team friendly deal.
As expected, the Texans have until May 4th to pick up the fifth-year club option for 2021 on Watson, which it looks like it's a formality and they're going to do it. They said in the meantime, both sides expected to pursue a long-term contract, but the projected salary for that fifth-year option is 17.3, and it's a bargain. At 17.3 to pick up that fifth-year option, it's a no-brainer, which means they'll probably think about it and screw it up some way. But to me, absolutely, you pick that up, and then you buy yourself the extra year before you start thinking about franchising and doing other things so you can hopefully get a long-term deal.
Yeah, don't franchise Deshaun Watson. You don't want to make that kid mad. I say kid, he's a grown-ass man, but you don't want to make him mad and run him off by franchising. Just pay the man.
Yeah, I mean, because trading his favorite receiver could also do that, but that's water under the bridge. All right, we'll continue to roll. We got one segment to go. We're going to put a bow on it next. Turn over to the Blitz. It is the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
So we're back for the final segment of The Usual Suspects, and there was plenty of other stuff in the draft and around the NFL that we could get to, but we've got all week to do that. I don't know if you saw this or not, Barry, but it's worth mentioning during the 3 o'clock hour. Do you know that Dennis Rodman, and we've talked about this once, I believe, and we mentioned it, that it only happened once. Dennis Rodman, I think, did a discussion and a chat with Barstool. He says he broke his P-word three times, Barry. He's broken his unit.
What?
Three times, and he goes into detail. That's why, man. I had the audio, but I don't know that Aaron has enough time to censor everything, but he was on with those guys and said during sex three different times he has broken his, we'll just say, junk. He has broken his unit, and he said the one time, which was highlighted that you and I talked about, the woman came with a running start from across the room and tried to jump on it.
Oh.
I don't know if it was a misjudgment, whatever the case may be, bad things happen. He talks about the fact that it makes a noise, and he tried to emulate it like, and says then the women have started to freak out, and then he talks about the fact that there's some blood. I mean, really?
You know, one time, okay, but more than that, it reminds me of the great philosopher that once said, "Fool me once, shame on me. Shame on you. Fool me twice, not going to get fooled again," or whatever the quote George Bush mangled was. That, how, dude, there are a lot of things I would and would not want to experience, and a broken penis is one of them.
He says the third time, the chick freaks out, starts saying you got to get to the hospital, do all these things, and he acts like he was just so laid back and cool, going, "Nah, don't worry about it. Bleeding's going to stop, and been there, done that. Been through this before." What?
Yeah, that's weird.
So I posted it so you
can... How does one break it? That's the troubling thing. How does one go about breaking it? Now that I don't know. Does it? I don't know if I want to have this discussion, but what are you doing?
Essentially, the guys from Barstool said exactly what you said. You do it once, Okay, fine.
Yeah.
You do it twice. Well, now you're starting to
learn a lesson, right?
You do it three times. Boy, that's on you.
Maybe I can't imagine the pain involved in a broken junk, but the fact that you know, okay, it's almost like anything, right? Like if you tear your Achilles, a second tear is more likely. And then if you tear it twice, a third tear is really more likely. If you broke your penis the first time, second and third, I don't understand it. It's amazing.
We talked about...
Look, here's the bottom line. Stop doing things and putting yourself into a position where that's possible. That's what it comes down to for me, is if there's a certain position that causes that, don't do that position anymore. It's that simple.
Bro, direct quote. So we already heard about the running start one, right? Mm-hmm. Direct quote. So you're really trying to penetrate, and the bitch says that's all you got. So you say, you know what? Here you go, bitch. And the next thing you know, on that last sudden thrust, you hear, and oh, it's like, oh, what? That pop right there. Oh, my God. And then it all starts, and he says, and then he goes on in detail. I'm like, this dude
first
is
of all,
out there.
Yeah, and not very nice to be calling the ladies in your life that word. I don't use that word. I don't condone that word. All right.
Maybe on a daily basis you don't use that word, but any day that ends in Y, I don't know.
Well, that is kind of, yeah, that's a, I don't know, dude. That's a who?
Who?
Okay. This is about to unopen. Be by the dump button, Aaron, if we're going to take this call.
I am. Do y'all want to talk about it?
I mean.
Well, we already have.
Yes, but do you want to hear Davey's story about how he almost completely snapped his?
I'll leave that up to Barry. Barry, do you want to hear Davey's story about snapping?
This is against my better judgment, but, you know. Okay. It's against my
better judgment. It's not OU Mike. I can promise you that.
If it is, I'm throwing my headset. All right, go ahead.
Hey, guys, can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Oh, wow, okay. Long-time listener, guys. I'm going to keep this as clean as possible. I understand FCC regulations and whatnot, but I have never had someone do the whole running start thing, but I will say that I think mid-stroke is not inappropriate, right? come out and let's say mid-stroke you get a little too what's the word I'm looking for, fervent about what you're doing, and then you hit pelvic bone.
Well, that's just got. Oh my God!
It was.
I can't.
Yeah. It was.
So this happened
break.
To you. This happened.
Yes.
To you.
Oh yes.
Now,
absolutely yes.
First, the very first question I have is: did you have to get it put into a cast?
No. It didn't. It didn't break completely, but there was a distinct popping noise.
Oh, come on.
A ligament. If you've ever rolled jiu-jitsu and someone gets a hold
like
of your arm.
It's pulling a muscle.
Yeah,
it's like pulling a muscle, and I was out of commission for 2.5-3 weeks.
Now, did it have any? I mean, I'm guessing physically it hurt. Did it hurt to like use the restroom or wear jeans or whatever?
Yes.
Really? So it was tender
and
to
the
touch.
If your unit was to start working again, like it's supposed that hurts too.
Really? So you had to just think of your grandma naked the whole time so that you didn't get an erection. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I'm telling you, bro, I don't think I went as far as Dennis Rodman did. But, bro, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a distinct popping sound. It hurts, and it stays hurt for a hot minute, man.
Wow. Well, I'm traumatized. Yeah. Thanks for the call. That was... That didn't sound, man.
Just the distinct sound and
just
all that?
Just the pop,
I don't need all that.
Because that happened to my elbow once when I was training for a jiu-jitsu tournament. My buddy Shannon, who was about twice my size, got my arm, put me in a key lock, and then popped my elbow. And you can certainly – the whole gym heard it. Everybody was like, oh, my God, what just happened to Barry's arm? And then, fortunately, it turned out nothing was, you know, too bad. I actually rolled that weekend. But it scared me. I can't imagine that actually happening to my junk and hearing it. And then you're like, oh, well, now this is broke. And now it hurts. And if I get a, you know, and if thank goodness it didn't happen in third grade when you would just, you know, it would just get an erection for no reason, which was always the case in third grade, right? You'd be like, okay, why is this happening right now? I'm at the board trying to solve a math problem. This is weird. But that's still, if it works and something happens to turn you on, you're in trouble. Now you're broken and it, oh boy. I tell you what, they need to put, here's how you solve this, okay?
Oh, please, enlighten us all.
And I don't know why someone hasn't come up with this yet, but if Trojan was smart, instead of ribbed for her pleasure, they would put bubble wrap on it for his safety. I'm just saying, that could solve a lot of it. If it could protect anything in shipping, it can certainly protect it in receiving. Okay? That's all I'm saying. I'm done.
And with that, we put the wraps on a Monday on the suspects. And if you need more medical attention below the belt, Barry Laminack has answers if you have questions. So you can reach him at Barry is Funny. Just send your questions his way. They may not be medically approved, but they may also get the job done for you. You never know. Bubble wrap? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We're going to be back tomorrow, guys. So hopefully you will, too. Hang in there and be safe, be healthy, and I guess start getting ready to be out there starting Thursday or Friday. But in the meantime, be on the radio and be up for the Blitz. They're coming up next. It's Aaron, Fred, AJ. They'll take you till 7 o'clock. Have a great night, everybody. This is ESPN 97.5.
I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.